Good afternoon. Welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges, and today my guest is Northwest Indiana educator turned first-time author, Christy Carpenter. She's going to be our featured guest in studio this week, along with her co-writer, author, Becky Holloway. We're going to talk about their recently released book, Fortitude, 1, 2, 3, 4 Cancers Chose My Son. It's an inspiring story from this first-time author about life with cancer. But first, let's start off with a song that gives us hope, no matter what storms of life come our way. This is from my good friend Jim Peterick. It's called Above the Storm. We'll meet the ladies on the other side.
I remember as a child, just sitting on the porch as the rain poured and the thunder rolled. In the safety and the warmth of my family by my side, I heard my daddy whisper low, saying it would be all right, telling us to hold on tight. Now when the storms of our misfortune are more than I can bear, his voice, it echoes through me and it sounds like a living prayer. Oh, the sun's gonna shine, the rain will stop, the healing wind's gonna fill your heart. My love will keep you safe and warm. I'll carry you above the storm. I can see it in your eyes, I can feel it in your touch. There's worry in your innocent smile. There's a fire on the wind, there's a change that's gonna come. But I'll be with you every mile, saying it will be alright. We'll be walking in the light. So when the darkness of indifference starts blacking out the sun, we'll bind our hearts together and our love will overcome. Just remember, the sun's gonna shine, the rain will stop, the healing wind's gonna fill your heart. My love will keep you safe and warm. Little one, I'll carry you above the storm. The rain will stop, the healing wind's gonna fill your heart. My love will keep you safe and warm. The wind's gonna change, the tears will dry, the world will heal, but I'm from home, little one, I'll carry you above.
gonna carry you above the storm. Little one, little one, above the storm.
Jim Peterik, Above the Storm.
When the storms of life come your way, you got to find shelter and throw your hands in the air and say, we're going to get through this somehow, some way. And that is what the story of today's book is about. Fortitude, 1, 2, 3, 4 cancers have chose my son. In the studio with me, Christy Carpenter and Becky Holloway. They are the authors of this inspiring true story about Christy's son, Andrew.
He has had cancer 4 times. Chapter 1, why? It's a question that everyone that deals with cancer or any devastating disease faces. How do you do it? I don't know what I'd do if my child had cancer. These are statements that you said you heard from everyone you met, Christy, and you didn't know how to answer. You didn't answer it because you felt that they couldn't relate? Is that? It was a strong opening on this book.
I felt like you don't know how you're going to answer a question like that because you never think you're going to be in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. And then when you're put in that situation, you're just shocked. And you don't really know what to say to people. You just won't understand why.
Over the years, I mean, Andy's now 23. He was diagnosed when he was 3 years old with the first cancer. You've had a lot of time that you've lived with this along with him and the rest of your family. Have you come to an answer at this point, or is it still one of those things that you just can't put to words?
I think you see one time and then multiple times, especially with a child, that you never want to see your child sick, mm-hmm, or something happen to your child. I think that makes it harder from seeing it from a mother to a child.
Why me? Why my child? Why cancer? Why not the flu? You had to have asked yourself that so many times. Mm-hmm. Where did you find the answers in yourself when you were asking that question? I mean, that's such a difficult reality to grasp.
A lot of faith, a lot of knowing there's got to be reasons. Mm-hmm. A lot of support from the family, just, you know, this is just how it is, and you got to do it, and this is it.
Now, you are an educator. You are an elementary teacher, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, you were able to balance that as well as working through all this with Andy?
Yes and no. There were times when I had to take leaves because he was too sick, and I had to be at the hospital the whole time. Mm-hmm. Other times, just were for the Gary schools, which were they were very supportive to it all, to help when we needed help, that giving time off or leaves, and then making sure that, you know, the job was still in place and things like that.
Now, when you first, Andy first started getting sick, what was the process that you said something's not quite right? When did you recognize it? What were the signs?
I think every mother knows their child better than anybody. And my father-in-law was a general practitioner, and I told him I thought there was something wrong with Andy, and he gave him an antibiotic, and then I had a baby at the time, and he told me that he's not king of the hill anymore.
Uh-huh.
That Andy's knocked off the throne now, and, you know, that's just, I just, mother's intuition that something's not right. Something, just knowing your child that he's not, it's not him. Something, mm-hmm, has happened.
Now, you thought it was something that was, you know, not as devastating, obviously, as cancer. It was your father-in-law that made the call to you and told you what was going on?
Yes, he did blood work that morning, and he went home for lunch and went back, and I know what time he gets back to work, and I knew when the phone call came, and it was a really short phone call, and that was the first child in all his years of practice that he ever diagnosed, and it had to be his own grandson.
Ah, and that was leukemia?
Yes.
And that was the first of many that we're going to discuss here today. So 3 years old, leukemia. Just grasping, putting your head around that had to take a while. When did you start keeping the journals, I guess? The journals is what resulted, from what I understand, in Fortitude, the making of this book. You guys worked off journals you kept during the whole process of this.
I really started writing things down because I couldn't remember. You're so tired, and you got another child that my sister took care of a lot, and then the doctor would ask you a question. I couldn't remember just what, so I just would start writing things down.
So you did it kind of to keep notes, so you kept everything straight in your head?
Yeah, you get tired, and you just don't know what the next day's going to bring, and you got to remember what happened the day before and mm-hmm. things like that. So I'd write things down.
So the leukemia came first. Was there a remission at that point? I mean, how long did he suffer with the leukemia before it started getting better?
He did go into remission the first time. And after that, we had he quit walking like 2 months later. And then he never walked again.
At three?
Three. He was diagnosed in April, and then by June, he couldn't walk. Just woke up one day and didn't walk.
Hmm. Wow. And that was then after that he went into the remission?
He was in remission.
In remission
at
that time.
And then when he started having the walking, they stopped the protocol because they didn't know what to do at this point until they put their heads together and figured out what we have to do. We have to give him something.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he's not walking either. How much more damage will be done?
So was the not walking a direct result of the leukemia?
Yes, from medications he took.
Okay. So he was in remission. Obviously, you got a wheelchair with him?
He was a walker first.
A walker?
He went to a wheelchair.
And things were, at that point, starting to look a little bit better because he was in remission.
Correct.
And that was the first cancer.
Correct.
And now there were three more still to come.
Correct.
What came next? I mean, he's kind of on a rebound at this point, and you're starting to feel better about this. Yes, he's having the problems walking, but the cancer looks like it's gone. You're suddenly feeling a little bit of relief, a chance to breathe again. When did strike two come?
When you're in a maintenance phase of leukemia as a child, boys are 3 years, girls are 2.5. Back then, that's what it was. He was almost to the 3-year mark. I think we were a couple weeks away, and then he got testicular cancer. And then he had to be treated for that with radiation.
So that's about age 6.
Yes, he was in kindergarten at the time.
Oh, my gosh. How do you deal with something like that? I mean, you just get your wind back, and you get punched in the stomach again. And how did Andy cope with all this? Did he have good spirits? I mean, I'm getting from your book that he's never really wavered. He's been a strong young man.
Andy has been the rock the whole time. He's always accepted things the way they are, and that's the way it is, and we just have to do this again, and it'll be okay.
Wow. Now, you started keeping notes for memory's sake, and eventually, from what I've gathered reading the book here, you also used it as a way to get your emotions out, get your feelings out, put your thoughts down, maybe things you couldn't talk all the time to people with that you just had to get out. Is that a fair assessment on some of these journals?
Yeah, writing was probably better for me. Other people
therapeutic.
Went to therapy. I went to therapy once, and they were so upset and crying, and I told the doctor that this isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went once, and I was finished with that. And it just went on with life.
So putting your thoughts down in your own way was your way of dealing with a lot of what was going on?
Yes.
Okay. Was there points, and I'm getting it from the book, and we're going to talk about how the many successes Andy's had, but it seems like there were times when you might have been the one that needed the help more than him, and he was there to help you through this. I've gotten that he, like you said, he was your rock, that there were times it's like, hey, it's going to be okay, where you were down in the depths, and he kind of was the sunshine. Is that fair?
Yeah, Andy was always, I think both of us were there for each other. I knew there was days when he wasn't having a good day that I really got to step up my game for him. And I knew there was days when he knew I just sat there quiet that I have to, my mom's kind of bummed today, so
right.
I got to be, have
give,
fun
give
with
her the
her.
Pep talk, give
yep.
her the hug.
Yep, or just be have fun with my mom today.
All right, so he's 6 years old. He's on his second round of cancer, testicular cancer, following the leukemia. He's having a troubled time walking. He's just in kindergarten. He's putting on a brave face for mom and the family, doing what he's doing. And I think it's fair to say he didn't stop believing. And on this point, we're gonna uplift it a little bit with some journey and some inspirational music. We're going to be back. We're going to talk with Becky, who co-wrote the book, along with Christy Carpenter, and the story of Andy.
Thank you. living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on.
Stop Believing, Journey, a song of inspiration. And earlier I was looking online to find some of the songs that were deemed inspirational to those that have survived their battles with cancer, and that was one of the top 10. There was a few in there that were pretty interesting, but Journey's Don't Stop Believing was really not a surprise, because it is a song about having self-faith and just carrying on and fighting the good fight. And that's what Andy has done. He's 23 years old, stricken with cancer for the first time at 3, has battled it not once, not twice, not 3 times, but 4 times, still going strong with the help of his family. We are talking about the book Fortitude, 1, 2, 3, 4, Cancer's Chose My Son. Christy Carpenter, which is Andy's mom, is here. She is the primary author, along with Becky Holloway, who has assisted her on this book. And one of the things that we do need to address is that this is not just Andy's fight and your fight. It was a whole family's fight. You had other children?
Correct.
How did this affect the family model, so to speak, dealing with all this?
I really, if I think back, that my kids were so little, I didn't know what a normal family was to raise kids, mm-hmm. from the beginning. And my youngest one wasn't even born yet. So they were so little, but it definitely, I think their personalities and things were changed or what they were because a lot of spending so much time with him and being away from home.
So the other children are younger than Andy?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That had, you had to have your hands full. Three young children and one ill?
I look back now, and I just said this over Christmas. I saw somebody at my house with three children, and how much work that was with three and not a sick child. I'm thinking, I just did it. You didn't have a choice. Just do it.
I mean, you look back now and say, how did that, yes, how did I pull that off?
Yes.
All right. As yes. I said, this is not, I mean, this is a tragic story, but it's also one with a happy ending. Andy has accomplished many things in life. We're going to talk about some of that. The journal was kept, journals were kept throughout the course of his battle with cancers over the years by his mom, Christy, and eventually became the book. And we're going to talk about that book in just a second and the writing of it. But we left off with testicular cancer, which is the second cancer. Now, there were two more. When did he go into remission with cancer two, or did he, or did the third cancer strike simultaneously?
No, he was back in remission.
Okay.
And then a couple of years later, he needed a bone marrow transplant.
This was bone cancer?
No, it was just a bone marrow transplant just from the leukemia relapsed, and he had to have a bone marrow transplant to live.
And at that point, what was his age? Eight, nine?
Eight.
And still very upbeat, very very supportive of mom and all the things going on, keeping the faith.
Yes, I mean, it was shocked us because he wasn't sick. It was just he had to get blood draws every month. And one blood draw, I just got a phone call one night that said that he needed a bone marrow transplant and we need a donor. So, and his youngest sister happened to be a perfect match.
How are the sisters now?
One is 21, going to graduate this year. The other one is 18 and she's in college.
It looks, from the pictures that are in the book, it looks like the family grew closer through all this. A lot of times disease and you know, bad situations draw families apart. And you guys seem to circle the wagons, I guess you'd say.
I think we did okay. I think for everything I saw at the hospitals and different places and rehab centers, I think we did great holding it all together. And, you know, the kids all seemed pretty normal, you know, through the teenage years and having a brother that's disabled and having a brother that needed a lot of care.
Now, there's a picture in here from 2002. These are the girls with him?
One is, one isn't.
Oh, okay. And, yeah, it shows the birthday party. Some nice shots here. And, again, in these pictures, even though Andy's going through so much, he's smiling in just about every picture in this book. It says something about the spirit. I mean, even as he's getting older, you see the smile never fades.
Yes, correct. He's always seems like he was in a good mood.
He's driving. He's going to prom, playing wheelchair basketball. I mean, he's accomplished so many things. Let's talk about...
Can we go back to that one picture that you saw?
Oh, which one? The birthday one?
The one where you questioned why, if that was my children.
Right.
Any mother would understand this. When you're at the hospital 24/7 for weeks at a time, your kids can only hang on so long, and they want to go back home, and they want to go back to school, and they had to have a normal life, too.
Right.
And the one to his right there is his sister. She was the donor. That's why she's there.
Okay.
She had to be there. The other one is his cousin, who he's really close to. Her name's Lindsay. They're about the same age. And his other sister was in school. She wanted to go to school and be like, she had to go on with her life. She
right.
was a first grader. And a first grader would want to go to school. You know, you can't keep them all at the hospital.
Right. So 2002, we were in cancer three, getting the bone marrow transplant. What was cancer for, and when did that come?
Thyroid. He was a junior in high school. And that's from the radiation he had as a child.
That affected the thyroid?
Secondary cancer, yes.
Okay. Now, at this point, knock on wood, is everything in remission at this time? Are we doing good? Is Andy well?
Yes, he's well, but he needs a surgery coming up for
okay.
something that he had as a child now.
Okay. So... along the way, we've talked about the spirited acceptance, the warrior will to survive that this young man had. We've talked about some of the things. Despite going through all this, he has had, in many ways, a normal childhood as far as going to prom, having friends, driving, playing wheelchair basketball, competing in sports. There were some pretty inspiring stories here where he got the award and he won the game. I mean, it's like something out of a movie in many ways. And how did all that come about? We have so many people that get sick and kind of throw in the towel. And here's a guy that said, I can do that. I'm going to meet this challenge. And that's what I want to convey here is for those that are listening that might be in a similar situation or just getting bad news or enduring what you did, how do you look at the sunshine, the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, the horizon, that maybe one day this is all going to be okay?
I think Andy's the key. He's the one that always has been positive. Always has said he loves sports, and when he said he wanted to play basketball, it's like, okay, we're going to figure out a way to play basketball or whatever. I just said, you're going to get to do everything. We're just going to do it a different way, everything we can do for you.
Okay.
He's went skiing. He's done a lot of things.
That brings us to another one of the songs that was on this survey of cancer survivors that said songs that inspired them. And this is a perfect time to kind of underscore the meaning of this song. It's by Tim McGraw. It was considered the number one favorite inspirational song. It kind of sums that up. It's about stepping up and taking life by the horn, so to speak. And this is Tim McGraw.
I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper. I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. I became a friend a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went three times that year, I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like dying. Like tomorrow was a gift and you got eternity to think about. What you do with it? What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter
to live like you were dying.
Live Like You Were Dying, Tim McGraw. That's a song inspired by the bad news that sometimes doctors give us. He was looking at x-rays and decided, well, I'm going to do the things I'm going to do. Skydiving, riding a bull named Fu Manchu, and all the things that you don't think to. Going fishing, spending time with your parents. And sometimes tragedy brings families closer, and that seems to be the case with Christy Carpenter and her family, her daughters, her husband, and herself, and the story of Andy, who's 23 years old now, who has done just what that song says. Took some bad news and said, I'm going to make the best of things, and became a wheelchair basketball player. And as I mentioned off air, a lot of times I'll do some work with the Roland Hoosiers, who are a wheelchair basketball team from right in the area, and they take on the Wheelchair Bulls out of Chicago. And we've done some fundraisers for Disabilities Day at Griffith High School. I've had the opportunity and good fortune to be a part of. And Andy has played in those games. And there's a really inspiring story. And Christy, I'm going to ask you to share that with us, where Andy was playing and he won the game.
Andy went for years without making a basket, and his dream was to make a basket, and it wasn't that he wasn't able, but he understood the game. His mind worked, his body wasn't working. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the strength to get it up there to shoot it. And then it took, I would say, 5 years.
Well, there was a coach that worked with him to build his upper body strength.
No, it was TJ Lux in our area here.
Okay.
I went to TJ, and I know he was a former basketball player, and coaches Maryville boys now, and I said, I have a project for you that he had worked with therapists for years, and he was tired of the white coats and the hospital settings, and I thought, he needs a gym atmosphere. I said, I got a project for you. He needs to be stronger. He wants to make a basket.
Mm-hmm.
And TJ took it on, and it was more of a guy thing, a clique, and he was getting in the teenage years, and he made the basket, and it wasn't about the game anymore at all. It was like Andy made a basket.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's another milestone.
A milestone that he had. And I asked TJ how he felt when he found it. He said he got chills. And I said, I just wanted to cry. It was just so exciting. And everybody in the wheelchair basketball world, as you know, it wasn't just his team, it was the other team. They're excited for each other.
Right.
So just the sportsmanship and just helping each other out.
And when was that?
I think Andy was probably a freshman or sophomore.
Okay. Did he stay with wheelchair basketball for a long time?
I thought wheelchair basketball was an excellent outlet for him. He played from probably 12 or 13 till he was too old, and that was after he graduated.
Now, this book has many inspiring moments. Of course, there's a lot of heartache in this book. There's a lot of tears, but there's a lot of smiles, a lot of uplifting. It's a quick read. It's not that long of a book. It's about 103 pages with photos, some great photos, by the way, that are also inspiring. Let's talk about the making of this book. Now, we had talked that you, during the process of all this, from age 3 until the book came out last year, you kept journals and thoughts and notes of his progress and your feelings and the family's feelings and doctor's specifics. And you took these notes, these journals, and you decided, I need to finally address the parents that were asking, how do you do this? I don't know how I do if it was my child. The questions that you'd always been asked, you decided, I'm going to put it down, and hopefully somebody can benefit from what we've been through. And that is this book, Fortitude, which you co-wrote with Becky Holloway, another educator from the elementary school. And the two of you collaborated on this. Now, let's talk about the book process. What was it like? How long did it take you to take these notes and turn it into the book we have in front of us?
It was a labor of love for at least a couple of years.
Okay.
It's not just the, you know, getting out of an outline and writing. I mean, it's meeting many times and going over things and over things. And a lot of things that Christy had on her mind, you know, they're filled with emotion. And you have to get through that emotional part so that you can get something that you can write on paper. And that was the reason I helped write. She had a great story. She just needed to get it on paper and get it to be focused and to say what she wanted to say in the way she wanted to say it. You know, I think it was cathartic for her, and it was absolutely. It did take a lot of time, but it was one of those things that once you start, mm-hmm. you just always have that on your mind that you want to do. You know, you want to finish it, or you want to get together and talk about it. And we spent a lot of time together over those couple of years, but we were both working, and so that was not our full-time job. So
okay.
we had to fit that into her busy schedule with the family, my schedule with the family, and plus work. So it took a couple of years.
You fit a lot into a very short space. I mean, 100 pages is really nothing, but there's such a story here. There's so much time that's been encapsulated into this very brief amount of writing, but yet it hits home. It tells the story. It tells the inspiration. Was it hard to keep it brief? Was there a lot of editing that went on?
When we started off, we knew that we had to focus on certain things. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to just do the chronology of everything, how
right.
things happened. This is for a second or third. But we knew that we had to have, there were points that we wanted to cover. And so we had to narrow that. Because, you know, you could talk about things like what did you do during the holidays? That could be almost a whole nother chapter or book. Or,
right.
And so we had to narrow that focus. And we wanted something powerful. But yet, you know, not something that you could put on your coffee table and read and pick up, but not something that you had to labor to go through. You know, it had to be a readable and easy, had to have that uplifting, every part of it. It seems like it's, even from the title, I think we worked hard and getting it to be always have a positive message. It was always something in each chapter. Or at least after the first couple, that would bring you into thinking that, okay, there's this hope,
mm-hmm.
this hope. And I think she conveys it well in her story.
And you see some beautiful pictures in here. I love this shot of him getting the kisses from the girls.
That was yes. one of my favorites.
that's classic. It's got family pictures from the holidays. It's got shots of Andy and the family growing up. And again, inspiration and positivity is something that underscores every part of this book. It is a story of tragedy, but it is a story of hope and accomplishment, probably more than anything. When it was finished, what was Andy's thoughts?
I gave the book to all three of my children. I wanted them to read it before anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Andy never read the book. He said he lived it. My middle child read the book. She said, I forgot a comma. And the youngest one got about the fifth chapter, and she wasn't born into the beginning of the book. She said she didn't know a lot of this, and she thought it was sad, but it was a good book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so all three had totally different reaction to it.
Okay. Now, was it hard to get this published? I know a lot of local regional writers go the self-publishing route, which is fine, but you opted to pursue a real publisher. And you got one. Page Publishing put this out. Was it a process? Was it hard to get them to actually say, okay, this is a good book. We're gonna sink some money into it and promote it. How did the publishing end come about? Becky, I guess she's throwing it to you again.
I think it was, you know, we're both very new to this process and for publishing, of course. And so you just get online and start researching, but that is that was just huge. You have to still filter through a lot of information. But put out a lot, you know, went through and found out how to put out those letters of interest, etc., and you did that kind of thing and waited for responses. But she was the one that actually got the one from Paige after I had done some preliminary just inquiries and I can't remember how you got into Paige.
We had it, and I spoke with two people that had written books. I went to see them, and they said, it's trial and error, keep trying. And on our second try, we got picked up by Page Publishing, and I asked, his name was John when he called me, and I said, at first I thought it was he wasn't being serious. It was a prank they were pulling on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, no. It's a story people want to read. It's a nonfiction and it's real. Everybody can relate to it in some way if they're a caregiver to somebody in their family. It's just one of those stories everybody would like to read. And that's how it got picked up by Paige.
Now, how did you get involved, Becky, as far as the writing end? Have you been published before? Are you a writer in any sense as far as publications?
No, I'm a first-time writer. Just took on the challenge when we talked about it. We had been friends, worked together, and it just was not only an interesting or a challenge, but I feel like things are put in your path or into your life for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And Christy was put into my life for a reason. And I believe, I'm very spiritual. I believe that you're commissioned to do certain things in your life. I was commissioned to be to work in Gary, and that's what I did. And I think the same thing with writing this book. It was, I feel very strongly that I was commissioned to do it. I did it not just for her, but for Andrew. And so anyway, that's our relationship. We just started talking about it, and it just came to fruition.
So. Now, with this book now out, what's the response been from the general public? Have you got any kind of feedback from people that have read it and have been inspired or said thank you for putting into words what I'm feeling or anything like that? Any response even from the hospitals or the doctors that you've worked with?
Really mixed, interesting, and we haven't pushed the book yet, but mm-hmm. a lot of people, they've had to read it, and people forgot what had happened through the years, or they thought it was wonderful, it was written down, and just a lot of different views, but all good reviews with it.
You give a lot of props to the doctors and the hospitals, too.
Absolutely. They're like your best friend. I mean, they are very dedicated with pediatric, and they know all about your family. They put the time in. They're very much hands-on with your child and the families.
There's a thank you to the Ronald McDonald House, Relay for Life. I mean, a lot of organizations came and had your back.
Yes. Through it all, I thought the Ronald McDonald House is an excellent organization, that to not just you meet other people in your situation, it doesn't make a difference of your color or your income, anything. You're all in the same boat right now. We have a very sick child at the hospital, and we got to get through to the next day. So you share a lot of time together, and Ronald McDonald House is just there for letting you stay, your meals, shower, take care of you.
And, so you assembled Team Andy, or as I've heard, it's called Andy's Army.
Andy's Army. And that was a big, Relay for Life started way back, and we were one of the founders of that with Dr. Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took off with Andy's team because I think we were just so into it and so upbeat with it. And he was like more of a celebrity for people to meet. And Andy just downplayed it like, this is fun. And Andy was a guest speaker 1 year even. Dr. Kramer couldn't make it, so he asked Andy to speak for him.
If Andy's story has taught us anything so far, it's that sometimes you just gotta believe. And this song is all about believing. Once again, Jim Peterick from Chicago, and We Believe. More with Christy Carpenter and Becky Holloway when we return.
Here in my hand, I hold a feather, and by its power I can fly. But should it fall to earth forever, still my belief will lift me high. If you could harness all the love that's in your heart, in a touch we could illuminate the dark. Oh, and I believe in the triumph of the spirit over pain and impossible odds. I believe in the wonder of forgiveness from a wise and compassionate God. I have seen all the miracles we can achieve if we believe. I feel the weight of your confusion, the hollow hurt
of innocence we shared.
Must we always burn the castle to the ground to realize the paradise we've lost and found? Still I believe in the triumph of the spirit over pain and impossible odds. I believe in the wonder of forgiveness from a wise and compassionate God.
I've seen all the miracles we can achieve
if we believe.
I have seen the mighty roads rising from the cracks on the crumbling street.
I have seen the mighty eagle flying from the ashes of defeat.
I
have seen the passion deep inside of you and me.
His album Above the Storm, that is Chicago's own Jim Peterik and We Believe. And the story of Andrew Carpenter is all about believing, believing that you can do things, you can beat the odds. And he is a young man that certainly has done so. This is A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges.
We are back a final time. Christy Carpenter, Becky Holloway, they're the authors behind Fortitude, 1, 2, 3, 4 Cancers Chose My Son, inspiring book published by Page Publishing. And it's been out for a little while now, but as Christy said, they haven't really pushed it hard. When is the push going to come on this, Becky? Is it in stores now? Is it available online? How did they find it?
The e-books, Barnes & Noble, I'm not sure what all the sources is our Amazon. One of the things that Christy wants to do is to start making her contacts or within that network of hospitals.
Mm-hmm. And doctors. Like bookstores in the hospitals?
Yes.
That would be a great place for this.
And with the physicians, especially pediatric cancer, all those kinds of sources. She has a network already established that she's going to capitalize.
So that's going to be forthcoming in 2017 now, the big push to get the marketing behind this?
Yes.
Feeling good about it?
Yes, I am. I mean, I would like mothers especially that mm-hmm. have chronically ill children, let them know there's hope out there.
Okay. All right. I understand we actually have Andy on the phone, and we've got about 2 minutes left. Andy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us. We've been telling your story. We've been talking with your mom and with Becky here about the Fortitude book, and I'll tell you, it's very inspirational. We talked about the fact how you were her rock when she was trying to be your rock, and that the family pulled together, and we've talked about your accomplishments with the wheelchair basketball, and you're in college, and I mean, you've had an uphill battle, my friend, but you have come through shining.
Yes, thank you.
What are your thoughts on Relay for Life at this point? I understand you were one of the pioneers of that.
I feel like Relay for Life is just a huge, it's very important because it raises awareness. You also get to meet other kids who had cancer. It's just a good camaraderie because you have different people from every different walks of life that come together one night or or for the whole organization, just to meet each other and have a good time and also raise money for a good cause. So.
Okay. Well, again, that organization, so many others that have helped families in need, really are the foundation of so many success stories. But the one thing that nobody can teach you or nobody can do for you is keep that spirit. How did you keep your positivity? How did you keep all of that going during the peak of all this? We've got about 1 minute left.
I think the main reason why I was thinking, like, you can't do anything about it, so why be down for something you can't control? You might as well just put a smile on and get through it.
Wow.
Why dread on something you can't control, my thinking is.
You know, that's a philosophy that everybody should have, whether they're ill or not. That's very strong, Andrew.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we got to get going here. I want to thank you for joining us and wish you the best in health and success as you continue on through your college years and life. And hopefully we'll be able to have you join us on the show again, and maybe we'll do something again when you guys are doing maybe a fundraiser or when the book becomes the movie, which is what I think could happen here.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. And thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Have a great 2017, Andrew.
You too as well.
All right. All right. You're listening to A Look at the Arts. Our guest, Andrew, right there, Andrew Carpenter. We've also had Christy Carpenter and Becky Holloway, the authors of Fortitude. It's Andy's story. And again, I think it'd be great if we could see this become a movie. Take it to Oprah. It sounds perfect for her network.
Well, this afternoon show has certainly lived up to the book title that we are talking about, Fortitude. Fortitude 1234 Cancers Chose My Son is the name of the book, written by my guests Christy Carpenter and Becky Holloway, and all about Andrew Carpenter, who joined us at the tail end of the show here this afternoon. He is an inspiring young man who lives life with fortitude, determination, and above all, faith. I think the greatest lesson we can learn from Andy's story is to live life to the fullest each and every day. And to wrap up the show, here's a perfect song all about that. From an artist we've already featured a few times in today's program, my friend Jim Peterick from Chicago. This is going back to Jimmy's album Above the Storm, and it's a great song to wrap with. Until we meet again, follow Andy's lead and live life like there's no tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Sitting there telling his story, young man, listen to all he had to say. Find the light, it'll move you forward. Find a friend in every hand that you shake. Live life. Ooh, live life. Feel the sun, stop and smell the flowers. Feel the moon as it turns the tide. Touch the stars, it is in your power. Scale the rocks on the mountainside. It's your life, can live it for you. Make your dreams your own mistakes. Carve your life from the clay God gave you. Throw a little more of a chance you take. Live life like there's no tomorrow. Live life like there's just today. Don't sweat over pain and sorrow. Self is what happens when you look the other way. When they're filled with wonder, kiss the tears you've been trying to hide. Feel the weight of the world you're under. Fight the fears you've been trying to hide. It's your life, gotta live it forward. Can't go back no matter how you try. Choose open mindedness over blindness. Take the high road when you can't.